Greetings in Christ's name this morning. A Money magazine article in the late 90s told the story of the life of a woman who saved 80% of her income on everything she earned and invested it all into the stock market. Within 50 years, she had a fortune of $22 million. Now, that sounds like quite the story, right? But was her sacrifice worth it? It's not that she made the money illegally, and it was all honestly earned. But she avoided her family and made no friends. She walked to work to save on the cost of bus fare, and she wore her clothes for years until they were tattered and worn. And she limited herself to spending only a few dollars a week on groceries. So in the middle of all this thrift, she never bothered to invest in any relationships. And she died without a single friend. It's reported that in the last 5 years of her life, she didn't even receive a personal phone call, any personal phone call. Her broker says, a big day for her was walking down to the Merrill Lynch vault near Wall Street to visit her stock certificates. So we know that this friendless millionaire is an extreme example of a person seeking to build her own personal financial kingdom, even at the expense of everything else, her personal comfort, her family, and her friends. So while we would never neglect our personal comfort and family to this extreme, our tendency is to forget to seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness first in our lives. Text verse this morning is Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We also forget how financially wealthy we are in comparison to the majority of the world's population. And I was reminded again of this, as I'm sure others of you were, at the Christian Aid Ministry presentation on Wednesday evening. Seeing the pictures and hearing story after story of those who are refugees, those who face hunger, those with inadequate shelter, cold houses due to extreme fuel costs, and the list goes on and on. So I've compiled some numbers and statistics to highlight how wealthy we are. And these are obviously approximate numbers, but since I enjoy numbers and statistics, then I thought I would share some of these. So there are currently almost 7.5 billion people on the earth. And approximately 10% of these people are going hungry this year. So that's 795 million, or that's the estimate. And of this 10% that are going hungry, 1% die every year from hunger or from hunger-related causes, which means that about 21,000 people are dying each day from hunger. Even more people, 14% of the world's population, does not have access to clean, safe water. And about 21% of the world's population lack inadequate housing. And about 33% of the world's population does not have access to adequate sanitation. Currently, there are an unprecedented 65 million people around the world who have been forced from their homes. Among them are nearly 21 million refugees. Over half of this 21 million are under the age of 18. And so there are many more statistics we could talk about along these lines, but the point is we tend to forget how wealthy we are in comparison to the rest of the world. So turn, if you like, to Matthew 6. Matthew 6, verse 25. I'll be reading from the ESV. Therefore, this is Jesus speaking, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? There are many people that do not know where their next meal is going to come from, or where they can get clean water, or how they're going to get clothes to stay warm. And so we have a hard time grasping these needs. Sometimes our needs, or we sometimes face, you know, have to do without several foods for a couple days until the next shopping trip. Or, you know, when electricity goes out twice a year, then, well, we have to start the generator up and, you know, make so we can have tap water again. But we're still tempted to become anxious or worry about our lives, even though it's at a different level than what many people face. So I'll continue reading here in verse 26. Verse 26, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So Jesus tells us three times in this passage to not be anxious. And on the other hand, Jesus gives us three instructions for things for us to do. The first is found in verse 26. Jesus tells us to look at the birds of the air, or to go bird watching. We should watch the birds and learn how God takes care of them. The second is in verse 28. Jesus tells us to consider the lilies of the field, or to study the wildflowers. If God takes care of the wildflowers, will he not take care of you? And the third one, which I'm focusing on this morning, is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So another way of saying this is, do not first of all seek your kingdom and your righteousness. Our tendency is to seek first our own comfort and security, and then invest whatever's left in the kingdom of God. This also does not mean to first seek the kingdom of this world and its righteousness. We might say, oh, we don't need the latest cars and houses the world offers, but we do need nice ones. By contrast, the kingdom of God means to seek first what is most important to God, investing in the things that have eternal reward. And we need to seek his righteousness. Keep seeking to know who God is. He is righteous, just, merciful, loving, good, and the list goes on and on. Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So to summarize, we here at Center do not go to such misguided extremes as the friendless millionaire who invested every penny in the stock market. But we do sometimes get off course in our focus from seeking God first in our lives. And so I believe that as we seek God first in our lives, we will remember, or at least not forget as much, how financially wealthy we really are in comparison to the rest of the world, and do something about it as well. Let's kneel for prayer. God, we want to seek you first in every area of our lives. And yet, it's the daily challenge of priorities and focus and understanding what your will is, what your heart is. So I just pray that we could invest our energy into things that last, into exactly what you want us, what your heart is, and what you want us to invest it in. And I just pray that we'd also be willing to share it with those, share our energy and resources with those that are less fortunate than us. Bless this service to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.